When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. I am very excited about today's episode and the next few episodes because what we're going to be discussing is something that the Lord is actively teaching me. And I'm just really excited to bring it here to the podcast. We're going to take a quick break from our Bible on Business series because these next four episodes, I believe, are going to be very freeing to a lot of people, specifically those of you guys who are like me, high-performing, achieving women who are looking to establish balance or harmony, as I say, in your life. I am excited to share and communicate with you what God is teaching me in real time. So this mini series over the next few episodes is going to be called the Internal Harmony series. If you've been listening to me long enough, if you have my book, She is Uncompromising, I talk a lot about total life harmony. I believe that balance is something that we all seek to achieve, whether it's work-life balance. If you're somebody who wears many hats, it's always a goal for us to figure out how do I exist in all of these different roles in a way to where it doesn't feel overwhelming, where it doesn't feel burdensome, but I'm able to show up well as a wife, as a mother, as an entrepreneur, as a career woman, as a student, as a insert whatever your titles are here. We're always looking for ways in which to exist in all of these spaces well. And as high achieving women, a lot of times we want to exist in these spaces perfectly, which we know mentally is not achievable, but we do want to show up well and show up in excellence in a way that is pleasing to the Lord and also to those who love us and that we are responsible to in these different roles. And in doing so, we again look for balance. And the revelation that I've gotten years ago and that I stand true on is that I believe balance shouldn't be the focus, because if something is to be balanced, that means that it has to have equal weight. And the reality of life is all of our roles and responsibilities don't hold equal weight. And so I believe that harmony is a more appropriate pursuit versus balance. And with this in mind, the reason how we've come to this series, I have been thinking heavily and talking to those in my close circle about what harmony looks like for me in this season, because I'm in a season of transition. I just had another baby. So now I've gone from a mom of two to a mom of three. A lot of the elements that have fit into my schedule in my previous season don't fit right now. Like little things such as my husband always has done the nighttime routine with our kids. So I've always had like this period from like 7 p.m. up until bedtime. And I would say even as early as maybe 6 p.m. up until bedtime, I've had this time to myself. I've had this time to recharge. I may can get a little work done in the evenings. I've been able to have my early morning times, waking up at 5 because I'm a morning person. person to be able to spend my time with the Lord and do different things to start my day. I've had this rhythm that has worked, but that isn't going to work in the season that's coming up. Now, because we have three children, my husband can't do all three of the bedtime routines, and children of different ages. So my 5-year-old and my 2-year-old, they can do their bedtime routine together. But I also have this newborn that I'm nursing. So I'm breastfeeding now around the clock. I'm up multiple times throughout the night. So a 5 a.m. wake up is reasonable in a sense where once my baby feeds around that time, I can kind of stay up. But there's more interruptions and there's less of a flow because of just the unpredictability of a baby of this size. I'm getting ready to go into law school. So now I have a cognitive load that is being added as well as a physical load with classes. My school is in person, so this is not something I'm doing online. I have a commute now. I have somewhere that I need to be every single day. And that hasn't been my reality since I worked a 9-to-5 8 years ago. I've been able to be in total control of my time, but now not so much. And all of these things are beautiful. For others, it may seem like, girl, how are you about the XYZ? I don't subscribe to limiting beliefs. I personally believe that everything can be figured out. I've always felt that way. And as a Christian, that mindset has been tamed or perfected in a way that's pleasing to the Lord. Because before Christ, it was more so of like, I can do whatever I want to do. It was more rooted in selfishness and rebellion. But now this uncompromising nature comes with wisdom and maturity. But with this in mind, I don't believe that anything can't be done, especially because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And especially if I know that the Lord has called me to something, the Lord has blessed me with this family that I've prayed for, the Lord has called me into this new season of going into law school. This wasn't something that I came up with and picked out of a hat. This isn't my ambition. This is an assignment and a calling. And so surely the Lord will then also teach me how to navigate this season and grace me for this season. And grace me for it in a way that includes joy. It includes peace. It excludes burnout, overwhelm, and all of the things. So this is where my mind has been. Like, God, I understand all of this. How? I need wisdom and practicality. I need your guidance to show me the way in this season. And so that's where my mind has been over the last few weeks. Over the weekend, I had some friends come to visit. These are people that I would consider to be my wise counsel, those that I trust to be able to lay my burdens out, and I trust what they give me with their feedback and things like that. And so as we were talking, I was explaining to them everything I just explained to you guys, and we were talking about a lot of practical things, but in my mind, I'm like, no, there's still a disconnect here. Like, I know that all of the external things can be figured out. I mean, we could figure out schedules, what things look like as far as the kids and childcare. And a lot of those logistics I already have figured out. I have a nanny that's going to be starting soon. My husband and I have been talking a lot over his paternity leave about our schedules. And I've come up with different things that we're going to implement in our home to let things run smoothly, logistically. So that's not what I was struggling with. I believe that's the quote unquote easy stuff. There is this propensity that I've noticed within myself, and we've talked about this, or I've opened up about this as we've discussed Charles Stanley's book, where life's busyness, I know for me, can a lot of times sweep me into it, to where I wake up and go straight into the tasks of the day and don't necessarily prioritize the pace that's necessary. I will read my word and kind of check off the to-do list, but I'm not receiving it as my daily bread because I'm distracted by all I know that I have to do. And I know I'm not the only one who does this. This is just my nature and a big part of this Christian life. And I've really been meditating on Galatians 2:20 heavily over this past week. And let me actually just read it as a reminder. It says, "My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So I've been reading this over and over and meditating on it because as a reminder to myself and a focusing, if you will, of, hey, we're crucifying this flesh. It is not just me in this body. It's also him. The Holy Spirit indwells. And so, Tatum, you got to slow down enough, slow your mind down enough, repace yourself enough so that you are keeping in step with the Spirit, which is a scripture that I'm going to keep saying over and over again, because people like us who are achieving women, we get things done, type A folks, we have to be consistently reminded of it. And so it was, this is where I've been mentally. So when my friends and I were talking about more of the external things, for me, I'm like, no, that's not the problem. There's an internal problem that I feel like I'm dealing with in trying to handle the external harmony and logistics. There still feels like there's some type of internal distance. And I was trying to think about it, like, is this because I'm still, like, is this a result of like that disappointment or that hurt that I was experiencing I talked about a few episodes ago, or is it something else? And one of my friends, she put it so eloquently. She was saying that for us, the type of women that we are, whenever there is some type of disconnect, we go straight to try to solve it internally. We don't look inward. We try to outwardly solve internal issues. And that made a light bulb go off in me, because something that has come up often, even over the years of being in therapy and conversations with other women, one thing that we do, or one thing that we don't do, is we don't take the time to move out of our heads and into our bodies. We live up here, and I'm pointing to my mind. So we're always thinking about something. We're always trying to figure something out. We're always problem solving. We are always laboring in some type of way, whether it's work, the kids, business, ministry, etc. But we live in our head and in our hands, and we never move into our bodies fully. And so we miss a lot of the gentle nudges of the Holy Spirit, because gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit. A lot of times we can't hear his voice correctly because there are 50 other million voices in our head at any given time. A lot of times we don't even know how we feel, like our emotions are so foreign to us. Unless we just bust out crying, we can't even recognize how we feel in any given time, because we're always up here pointed to my head, or we're always moving and doing something. And so in me investigating this for myself, I had to separate internal harmony versus external harmony. And that led me to what we're going to dive into with this series. And I believe this series is going to be freeing. I believe that it's going to be eye-opening. And I believe that it is going to add language to something that we may not have always been able to communicate. And the byproduct that of that, I pray, is going to be a deeper connection with the Lord, a greater ability for us to abide. I pray that it's going to allow peace. And overall, I pray that this series focuses us so that the Holy Spirit can then do whatever work he has for us, because it's going to be different for all of us as individuals. So I'm definitely looking forward to all of your messages and testimonies on how this blessed you. This episode is brought to you by Indeed. You just realized that your business needed to hire somebody yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. When it comes to hiring, Indeed is all you need. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs helps you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so that you can reach the people that you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. I've hired many times, and it's always very slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. How fast is Indeed? In the minute that I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/blessed. Just go to Indeed.com/blessed right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/blessed. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by IXL. In my household, education is so important, and in summer, there's still no breaks. So whether your child is trying to catch up, stay sharp like we are, or get a head start for the fall, IXL can make learning a seamless part of the summer. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning, whether they're brushing up on math or diving into social studies. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies from pre-K through 12th grade with content that's engaging, personalized, and yes, actually fun. It's the perfect tool to keep learning going without making it feel like school. I am so excited to get started with IXL. My son is getting ready to go to kindergarten, and one of the tools that his school uses is IXL for Learning. And so we are so excited to dive in this summer to prepare him for the upcoming year. This program will improve your kids' grades. It will work for any of your kids. You save time and you save money, so don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Blessed and Bossed Up listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com. Visit IXL.com to get the most effective learning platform out there at the best price. But nevertheless, let's hop right in and let's start by defining what I mean by harmony so that we could all be on the same page. So by definition, harmony is the state of peaceful alignment, balance, or agreement between different parts of a whole. And we see harmony in different ways. In music, it refers to the combination of different musical notes that are played or sung together to produce a pleasing sound. In life and relationships, harmony is when your thoughts and actions and values all align. It's this sense of inner peace and balance where your relationships, responsibilities, and rhythms, not routines, remember that was a whole episode, rhythms complement each other versus clashing. So for example, you live in a space where you are sensitive to the Holy Spirit, you're nurturing your family, you're building your business without compromising your family, and everything is just supporting and working together in a pleasing and peaceful way. Doesn't that sound good? Where you don't got to argue with your husband about your business, where your kids are not suffering as a result of your ambition, where you're not so busy doing that you're not practicing stillness and obedience to the Holy Spirit. When you're operating in a way that doesn't have harmony, all of these roles clash versus work together. In reference to mental and emotional health, harmony is a calm and regulated state where your emotions and thoughts and actions are in sync. So you're not experiencing inner conflict and turmoil and anxiety and stress and burnout. You're not experiencing those things when you have harmony. And on the spiritual side, harmony reflects unity with God's will. So this is where your life aligns with His order, His timing, and His purpose. It's not always easy, but it's this divine peace and joy that you operate from, even in the midst of pressure. This peace and joy is independent of any circumstance. So life can be life in, suffering can be present. But when you have true harmony spiritually, peace and joy abound regardless. Now let's talk about the difference between internal and external harmony for a second. And remember, I separated them. They're interconnected. But I separated them because remember, it's our nature as high-performing women to focus on the external. And you could have your stuff aligned to where your life runs like a well-oiled machine, but without the internal harmony, that's going to be short-lived. External harmony is dealing with those outside factors that we default to, our relationships, our environment, our daily responsibilities, tasks, and all of that. It's you as it relates to others. When we talk about internal harmony, I'm talking about you and you, your identity, your clarity, your emotional regulation, your spiritual grounding. I'm talking about the harmony that Jesus had in the wilderness, where despite what the fact that he was fasting and hungry and the enemy was tempting him, he still remained anchored in truth, even under pressure and temptation. That's what we're focusing on here in this series, because this is what I believe a lot of us neglect to fully give the attention that it deserves. And when you don't have that internal harmony, it directly interferes with your ability to consistently depend on the Holy Spirit. When you're just focusing on the outside, it becomes very difficult to remain present and sensitive to the Holy Spirit's voice and promptings. Remember, the Holy Spirit is an indwelling spirit. So if you're just constantly focused on the outward and you're disconnected from your internal life, when you're constantly down the rabbit hole of all the tabs being open in your mind, which we'll talk about in a second, or when you're constantly busy and being swept into the responsibilities of the hats that you wear, you become disconnected from your inner life. And when you're disconnected from your inner life, you're disconnected from his guidance. As I was thinking about this, I wanted to know if there are any psychological reasons why we are this way. And if so, how can we overcome them so that we achieve this state of internal harmony? Get into this list. And this is why this is a series and not just one episode. The first psychological reason is cognitive overload, which we'll talk about today. Disembodiment. Emotional suppression, and addiction to control. Listen, this is why I'm so excited to talk about this on this podcast, because surely I can't be just getting beat up by myself. Let's dive into cognitive overload. Let's just start there. According to the American Psychology Association, cognitive overload is the situation in which the demands placed on a person by mental work, aka the cognitive load, are greater than the person's mental abilities can cope with. Here is how it disrupts your presence, your emotions, and your spiritual sensitivity. First, it causes overactivity in the prefrontal cortex. The prefrontal cortex is the part of the brain responsible for executive functions, so reasoning, planning, analyzing, goal setting, and decision making. It's highly active in high-achieving individuals who are constantly solving problems, managing tasks, and processing information. When your prefrontal cortex is chronically overactive, it reduces the brain's ability to engage with the limbic system, which regulates your emotions, the body's internal signals, such as intuition or gut responses, and the default mode network, which helps with self-awareness and creativity. Under prolonged stress or cognitive demand, the prefrontal cortex becomes less effective, while more primitive brain systems dominate, leading to reactivity over reflection. Cognitive overload also impairs decision-making, memory, and awareness. When your brain is constantly stimulated with emails, to-do lists, content, internal dialogues, this leads to working memory deficits, so you have a difficulty holding on to and processing information. To me, this is usually a sign that I have too much on my mind when I just start forgetting stuff. Like, there have been a couple of times where I will go and make a cup of coffee and forget to put the daggone mug in the Keurig. And then now I have coffee all over the counters and on the floors. That has happened to me many a times when I've allowed myself to get to this cognitive overload. It is usually a sign that, okay, Tatum, you need to slow down a little bit because this is ridiculous. It leads to mental fatigue even after rest. It reduces your decision quality. And so then when your decision quality is reduced, you start relying on habits, not even always good habits, or anxiety-based reactions. This is not how the Lord has called us to live, y'all. So think about this in just a real life scenario. When you got a lot on your mind, sometimes you become withdrawn. You become a little distant. You're not fully present in your physical environment as well as your internal environment. It's like having mental tabs, 50 million tabs open in your mind 24/7. And when you have this chronic overload, it impairs your decision making, your memory, and your awareness. So this is where you find yourself in that space where you can't hear the still small voice of the Lord because it's 100 other voices going on at one point in time. You're in cognitive overload if you're reading the Bible, but you're not absorbing it. You're not allowing the Holy Spirit to reveal what needs to be revealed. You're not receiving it as your daily bread. You're just scanning it for different strategies or quotables. You're in cognitive overload if you're praying about something and then you go straight to problem solving mode, where you're asking God to give you wisdom, but then you go to seek it out based upon searching something on the internet or looking for some outside source. You give it to God and then you take it back. That's somebody who's in cognitive overload. If you're somebody who feels guilty for resting, you can't just sit down. You can't just go and lay down somewhere without feeling guilty. You're in cognitive overload. And what this will look like spiritually is you'll start to depend on your intellect over intimacy with the Lord. And that's very easy to do for a lot of us who are smart, intelligent, high-performing women. We can do things well. It takes a conscious effort for us to hold our intellect and our problem-solving ability back in order to be dependent on the Lord. And so when you are in this space of cognitive overload, you go to that default, to that survival mode that has kept you safe for so long, as opposed to depending upon your intimacy with the Lord to solve your problem. You start to lean on your logic versus just listening to God. You start to strategize versus surrender, and you manage your walk with God like it's another task, as opposed to a relationship. Your time with God is checkpoints. I woke up at this time. I read two verses. I read this devotional. I scribbled a little bit in this journal. I prayed and said amen, and I went about my day. Your relationship is on a task level. Have you been there, or is just me? And we have to be honest about this. I don't think that there are enough spaces to where we are honest about this, especially for us women who are, again, I have to keep describing who I'm talking to as high performing, high achieving women, because we're the individuals that people don't check on all the way because we look like we have it all together, where nobody cares enough to just take a look below the surface to be able to communicate with us from that space. We can get away with so much because of how we look like we have it all figured out, but we can't get away with anything with the Lord. He sees it all. We can't hide from him. I don't know about y'all, but to me, cognitive overload is chaotic. And I don't like chaos. I may be able to function in it, unfortunately, but I don't like it. And the Lord doesn't want that for us. He wants us to have peace. So how do we get there? How do we understand that internal harmony is necessary? How do we recognize our tendency to neglect it? How do we divorce ourselves from this cognitive overload? Live out the peace that the Lord has for us that doesn't depend on any type of external circumstances. How do we live this so that internal harmony is not just something that you hear on this podcast, something that you recognize you need, but it seems to be so distant? How does this come from or go from new information to something that is realized and experienced consistently? These are the questions that I had as I worked through all of this that I'm explaining to you. And here's what I found, because I wanted to address this spiritually, but also practically. So if you identify with the cognitive overload part of this series and you see how it's robbing you from this internal harmony, here's what you do. And this is very practical. This is backed on science and psychology to help you not overwork your prefrontal cortex. So the first thing you have to do is practice mindful breathing. According to scholars, even 5 to 10 minutes of deep breathing helps deregulate the prefrontal cortex and increase the calm state of your brain. Something I deal with is I will get a little white coat syndrome when I will go to the doctor's office, specifically around getting my blood pressure checked. I had a traumatic experience with my blood pressure after having my first son. So every time I would go to the doctor after that and they would check my blood pressure, I would get anxious and it would cause it to go up. And so something that I started doing is what they're explaining here, where when I would go to a doctor's appointment, I would tell them, hey, give me a couple of minutes. And I would tell them to come back. And during that time period, I would just breathe for 5 minutes or so, to where I'll take 4 breaths in, exhale for like 6. And I would do this over and over again for those 5 minutes, and it would just calm me. And it will come back, take my blood pressure, it'll be totally fine. I found this to even be especially useful in parenting, where my kids will do something and work my nerves real bad. And because I got all of this going on, where I'm running around with stuff with business, I got emails to tend to, and my to-do list is just so long in my brain. The second my child doesn't do something that I tell them to do right when I told them to do it, my initial reaction may be to be a little snappy. But I found that when I stop, take these deep breaths, and then respond, I have a lot more patience. I'm able to respond in love and not just react to the situation, which we've learned is what happens when you're in this cognitive overload state. So this is something that we have to work into our schedules, ladies. We can't just neglect it because we're busy. This needs to be a part of things that we prioritize on a day-to-day and watch how it changes us. And you could even combine this with praying. So when you take a deep breath in, say, Lord, I welcome you. Exhale and say, into this day. Inhale in and say, God, I surrender all. Exhale to you. Pick a scripture. Inhale the first part. Exhale the second part. These are things that we have to implement into our lives. The second thing that you could do is, of course, meditating. So the scientists talk about mindfulness and meditation, but we're Christians. So we do this the way that the Bible tells us to do this, which is to meditate on the word. So that means sit still, pick a scripture, and meditate on it. I told y'all I've been meditating on Galatians 2:20. The way that I meditate on it is I play it. So while I'm making coffee or something, I go to the Bible app, press play on that scripture, and I let it play. I'll let all of Galatians play. When I open up my journal to maybe just write down my thoughts, I write out the scripture. And that's just because usually if you write something down, it increases your chances of really internalizing it. So I write it down. I talk to people about Galatians 2:20 and what it means for me. And I also just sit and think about it. And so all of these things are allowing me to meditate on the scripture, internalize the scripture, and be mindful of the scripture. And so whatever scripture that you want to choose that's relevant to what you have going on, actually sit and meditate on it so that you can receive it and not just read it. Sit and receive the word for the fullness of what it is. The word is alive. And receive it for what the Holy Spirit is looking to reveal, as opposed to just scanning for strategies. Scholars say that when you sit in stillness with focused awareness, they talk about like breath work and all of that. I'm talking about scripture. You reduce that overload on your prefrontal cortex, and it increases the gray matter in the regions of your brain that's responsible for emotional regulation and presence. So what we're talking about here is not just things to do because it's nice to do or because it feels good, but it's backed by science to actually take you out of that cognitive overload state and take you to a state of peace. And as Christians, we're also trying to take ourselves out of a state of self-reliance and pride and ego, because that's what all of what's in that cognitive overload, and take us to a space of being focused on Christ. Another strategy is walking in nature. Natural environments lower cortisol. and they shift your brain activity away from the overload and towards a more relaxed and restorative mode. So you could sit outside for a little bit. You can go on a prayer walk, which is one of my favorite things to do. You can, and when you're on that prayer walk, just listen to worship music. I personally like to listen to instrumentals like Dappy Keys and things like that, because I don't even want to hear the words of the song when I'm on a prayer walk. I just want to be in a calm state and receive what the Lord has to say. You could just sit outside in the sun for a moment. All of these things are changing the way that your brain is operating at any given moment. And you want to take advantage of that to focus on Him. Grounding is another strategy. So this is where you can scan your body to engage your senses to say, what do I see right now? What do I feel? What do I hear? What do I smell? What do I taste? Engaging your senses just gets you out of your head and into your body. This is something I do all the time. My therapist told me to do this, and it's something that I do often because it helps me get out of my head, where I'll just pause and say, okay, what do I feel? Right now, I feel the fan that I have going in my room because I get hot when I record my podcast. Right now, I see the lines on GarageBand of what's being recorded. I smell the coffee that my husband brewed not too long ago for me. I taste the coffee that's still on my breath from drinking it. So taking a moment to just re-engage your body, doing a stretch. I know for me, I carry a lot of my tension in my neck and shoulders. So sometimes I have to stop and just tilt my head to the side and hold it while I stretch out that part of my muscle. Or my back, I carry a lot of stress in my back. So I might just touch my toes for a second and hear all the cracks that happen in my back as a result of that. But just engaging your body gets you out of your head. So this is something that you should practice as well. And also journaling. Many of us know this. Journaling allows your brain to offload and organize the thoughts that's on your brain. So that lowers that chaos that may be going on. It calms it. So you can write down like what is on my mind, whatever it is. It doesn't have to be organized. You don't need any prompts. Ain't nobody reading it to give you an A, girl. Just write it down. Whatever is on your brain, get it off on a piece of paper, and that allows you to offload it. I remember I called a friend of mine recently because I was spiraling. I was in a space of cognitive overload, and I was just dumping and dumping and dumping. And she was like, just write it all down. Whatever's on your mind, sit and write it all down. And I did. And I felt a lot better. The walls were not crashing in as they felt like they were an hour prior, because I just got it all out. And now this is something that I've been doing more recently, as I'm, again, just preparing for this new season and doing all I can to practice the things that I'm talking to you about. So now the last few days, instead of just laying in bed and watching a show before I go to sleep, like I've been doing, I took the time, I got a new journal, and I sat and I just wrote down how I feel. I rewrote the scripture I was meditating on. I wrote down whatever was on my brain at that time. I wrote down specifically things that brought me joy and peace because I wanted to focus on that. And then by the time my husband woke me up to feed the baby, I felt way more rested than I had in previous nights just by choosing to wind down in a way that calmed my mind down and that refocused me on the Lord. Another strategy to combat cognitive overload is music and worship. Studies show that music activates the emotional and sensory areas of the brain while calming the prefrontal cortex. So, of course, as Christians, we listen to worship music. So we should be listening to gospel, CCM, if that's your preference, any type of music that's going to focus you on the Lord. Instrumentals, if you're like me, music that's going to focus you on the Lord. You could sing out loud if you need something else to do. You're one of them people where you can't just sit and listen, or you're still working to overcome that. sing a song that really puts you in a place to where you're honoring the Lord. I have a couple that put me back to specific places in my walk with God that I know I could go to take my mind off of the business of the day and focus it on the Lord. Or you could listen to instrumentals and just let that play and minister to you. So music is another strategy as well. Sleep, of course, especially quality sleep. Chronic sleep deprivation leads to prefrontal fatigue, so it makes your brain overactive and underregulated. So when you are getting adequate sleep, you restore that balance that's necessary. So do like I did and have a quality sleep routine where you're journaling before going to bed. Invite the Holy Spirit into your routine. Play the Bible out loud versus scrolling or watching something on TV. Someone told me a while ago as a part of their self-help, self-care routine that I thought was interesting was they had a different body wash for morning and evening. So their morning soap was stuff with like different scents or smells that promoted alertness or being awake. Their evening one had things like chamomile or lavender that promote sleep and relaxation. So something like that is a real practical way to usher your body into sleep. Cutting your screen off for an hour or more before going to bed, drinking chamomile tea or something like that to help calm your body, having some type of sleep routine that's natural for you. I would advised against trying to do too many new things at one time. So really just focusing on what you already do. You know, you take a shower before bed. So switch to a lavender or chamomile based body wash to help promote relaxation. You know that you like to listen to something to help you fall asleep. Instead of listening to whatever you might have done before, choose to listen to the Bible in addition to your rain sounds. Maybe it's rain sounds, but the narrator over the rain sounds is reading the word. Whatever makes the most sense for you, but we have to prioritize quality restorative sleep. And then lastly, a huge strategy that I think we all need to prioritize is fasting from information overload. So reducing media consumption, including social media, any type of multitasking, really just taking a break from all the consumption to allow your brain to declutter, that will bring down some of the mental load that you have. Closing some of those physical tabs on your phone and on your computer also helps close some of those mental tabs as well. I hope you wrote these strategies down. If not, they're in the show notes. So go ahead and screenshot them and put them in your journaling time as well. But overall, in order for us to have this internal harmony, in order for us to overcome this cognitive overload, we have to quiet our mind long enough to be present in our bodies where He dwells. So these habits, these aren't just scientifically effective, but these are also some spiritual disciplines that I believe will help us be able to have that harmony that we're looking for. I pray that this blessed you. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. I'm looking forward to us breaking down the other three psychological factors in the upcoming episodes. Share this with anyone who needs this. Invite them into the conversation. I love you guys, and I'll see you in the next one.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind. And it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus, on edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.